Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrodsburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for listening to our broadcast this morning. We hope you become a regular listener each Sunday morning at this time as we give you a message of truth. We also have a TV program titled Searching the Scriptures. It comes on right after this program on Channel 6 of your public access station. Excuse me. We encourage you to give it a look. We also have a very extensive website, churchofchrist@harrodsburg.com. We cordially invite you to take a look at it and look at all the valuable resources that can aid you in your study of God's Word. Please give it a look. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given our meeting times for our services at the Harrodsburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any or all of these services. You'll always be warmly received. We are looking at an overview of the Bible, and we are hastening to the end of the New Testament, and we are looking at the book of 2nd and 3rd John this morning. Since 2nd and 3rd John are very short books, we're going to read the books, and then we're going to make some comments. The second epistle of John reads, "The elder, to the elect lady and to her children whom I love in the truth, and not only I, but also all those who have known the truth. Because of the truth which abides in us, and we will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with you from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the Father, in truth and love. I rejoice greatly that I have found some of you children walking in truth as we receive commandment from the Father. And now I plead with you, lady, as though I wrote to you a new commandment to you, but that which we have heard from the beginning, that we love one another. This is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is a commandment that you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. And many deceivers have gone into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ is coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourself that we do not lose things we work for, but that we may receive a full reward. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If anyone just comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him to your house nor greet him. For he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. Having many things to write to you, I do not wish to do so with paper and ink, but hope to come to you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full. The children of your elect sister greet you. Amen." In this short letter, it is addressed to those who are the elect lady and to her children. This suggests that it's written to a church and the congregation. Which one is not specified. And to those who have known the truth, this shows an attitude of receptance of God's will. And because the truth abides in us, again, John includes himself, that the truth is abiding in the people that he is writing to. In verse 4, he greatly rejoices because they are walking in truth. This simply means that they're conducting their life according to the pattern that God has given us in his word. And as they receive the commandments from the Father, they are so walking and so doing. In verse number 5 and 6, he re-emphasizes a theme that he had in the first letter of 1 John, and that is the love of brethren. He said that they have had that command from the beginning, and that we must walk according to his commandments. That means we must be faithful to the pattern and instruction given in his word, and that what you've heard from the beginning, that they must love one another and walk in love. And walking in love means walking according to the pattern and the commandments that were given to them by God. Why does he emphasize this? Because there are many deceivers that have gone into the world. And one of the ways that he demonstrated that was that some would not confess that Jesus Christ had come in the flesh. They denied that Jesus Christ was deity when he was on earth as the Son of God. They denied that he was both man and God. John says that they were deceivers, and he called them a type of antichrist because they were discussing things that were contrary to God's will. We also see in verse 9 through 11 some very important statements. It talks about transgressing and not abiding in the doctrine of Christ. One that transgresses means to go beyond. And when we go beyond the teachings of Christ, we lose fellowship with the Father and with the Son. This makes it very serious. If anyone goes beyond the teachings that are contained in the Scripture, then they lose their fellowship with the Father and the Son. And they are told not to allow anyone to come to them with a different doctrine. If they bring a different doctrine, they are not to receive them. They are not to accept it. And if they do accept it, or they greet them and they compromise the truth, then they take part in their evil deeds. Again, John writes at the end of this letter that he hopes to see them face to face and not just writing to them with pen and ink. And he wants to do that their joy may be full. So again, the emphasis in this short letter is that they were walking in the truth. They were walking according to the teachings of God's word. And that they loved one another as they had been given instruction from the beginning. And that love would be demonstrated by faithful obedience to the commandments of God. And then the warning of deception for those who would try to deny the deity of Jesus Christ or his humanity. And then last, the danger of going beyond the doctrine of Christ, for one would lose fellowship with the Father and Son, making it a very serious situation. That leads us to the book of 3 John. 3 John is also a very short letter. It says, "The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, that as your soul prospers. For I rejoice greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. Beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and for the strangers. You have borne witness of your love before the church. If you send them forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God, you would do well. Because they went forth from his namesake, taking nothing from the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such, that we may become fellow workers in the truth. I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, does not receive us. Therefore I come, I will call to mind his deeds which he does, prating against us with malicious words. And not content with that, he himself does not receive the brethren, and forbid those who wish to, putting them out of the church. Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. He who does good is of God, but he who does evil has not seen God. Demetrius has a good testimony from all, and from the truth itself. And we also bear witness, and you know that our testimony is true. I have many things to write, but I do not wish to write to you with pen and ink. But I hope to come to you shortly, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be to you. Our friends greet you. Greet the friends by name." Now again, in this short letter, we see that it is addressed to a brother named Gaius, and that he loved this brother because he was loved him in the truth, which means that he was a Christian. And he also says that he prayed for their physical health, but also their spiritual health, that their soul would prosper. How could their soul prosper? By being faithful to the commandments given to them by God. And he greatly rejoiced that, just as he mentioned in the second letter, that they were walking in the truth. That means their manner of life. They were walking according to the testimony and to the commandment of Christ, just as we are commanded to do the same today. And he said he had no greater joy than to understand that those that he loved, that they were walking in truth. Again, this is what God desires of all of his children, that they walk in truth, that their manner of life is according to the teaching that are found and contained in his word. And he commends them that they have been faithful, not just to help the brethren, but also had helped strangers and entertained them. Again, this is something that's commendable because it's something that God gives us the requirement to do, as we can read in Hebrews 13, 1 and 2. He also bore them witness that the love, if he would send them on their journey in a manner worthy of God, you do well. Again, he's talking about those that come to him, to them with the gospel. If they would send them on their way to do further work, then that would be something that God would be greatly pleased with. And why? Because then they would become fellow workers of the truth. And again, they would have fellowship with those brethren in doing the work that God had given them to do in spreading the gospel and edifying the church. But there was a problem here that's addressed in the third letter. That problem has to do with Diotrephes. And he wrote to them about Diotrephes, and his problem was that he loved to have the preeminence. Preeminence means first place. He wanted things to revolve around him, and he would not receive them because they would not tolerate that kind of attitude and conduct. And therefore, he says, "If I come, I will call to mind his deeds, which he does." He's going to be rebuked by John. He's going to be rebuked by John because what he is doing is contrary to God's will. And It says he's going to bring his deeds to his attention and the things that he had practiced against us. And he accuses them of using, of Diotrephes using malicious words. And not only is he using malicious words against them, he's not content just to do that, but he also does not receive the brethren. And he forbids those who wish to come to them by putting them out of the church. Again, he is acting like a one-man system, that he is running the show, and he determines who will be received in the fellowship and who will not be received. And those who stand against him to rebuke him, he puts them out of the church. So what does John tell them to do? In verse 11, he tells them not to imitate what is evil, but only imitate what is good. And he says, those who have done good are of God, and those who have done evil have not seen God. And so the works of Diotrephes are not according to the truth. They are contrary to God's will. Therefore, they should resist him. They should not follow his example. They should not imitate his work, because it is contrary to God. It is evil. And when John comes, he is going to rebuke him, and he's going to correct that situation. But in verse 12, he commends the work of Diotrephes. Why? Because he has a good testimony. That means he had a good report from those and from the truth itself. Why? Because he was borne witness that you know that our testimony is true. He had a good report from the apostles because he was walking in the truth. He was doing the things that were right and living according to the testimony. Again, at the end of this short letter, he implies to them that he does not want to just simply write to them with pen and ink, but he wants to speak to them face to face. Why? So he can greet them, so he can encourage them, and also so he can deal with this problem with this brother Diotrephes, who was causing problems in the church by putting those out who should have been received and receiving those who should not have been received. And so he hopes to come to them and deal with these situations when he comes. And so in this second and third letter of the book of John, we see that these letters were written to individuals and to congregations. And they are commending the things that are right, and they are rebuking the things that are wrong. John rebukes in the second letter those who are transgressing God's will by going beyond the things that he says because of the danger of losing fellowship with God and his Son. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that is indeed true today. When we go beyond the teachings of Christ, we have the same problem. We lose fellowship with the Father and Son. Why? He has no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, Ephesians 5, verse 11. And part of those commandments are that we love one another. And if we don't have the proper love for one another, then God is not going to be pleased. And we discussed that at great length in the first letter of 1 John. And then lastly, and we looked at 3 John, we see the problem of those who sought to have a position that solely belongs to God's Son. In Colossians 1, verse 18, all preeminence belongs to the Son. Why? He's the head of the church. He also is the founder. He purchased it with his own blood. He has all authority in heaven and earth. So anyone who tries to take that authority upon himself is not just contending with the church, he's contending with God. And so John addresses that has to be changed and that has to be corrected. And he is going to correct them, and he's going to talk to that brother and put out and point out his evil deeds when he hopes to come to them face to face. And so we see in these two short letters encouragement, edification, and correction to correct problems. Let us learn from these examples of the past, and let us continue to read and study our Bible. Thank you for listening. Have a blessed day. Tune in again next Lord's Day.